Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 10th, 2024. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Share, subscribe. Let's drop some. You know what? I'm drinking a fruit punch drink right now. Drop some blueberries in the chat. I didn't know there was a blueberry emoji until last week. I was pretty happy about it. Drop some blueberries in the chat. We would greatly appreciate that. We'd also appreciate your thumbs up, your nice reviews on audio platforms, and super chats and humper chats, as Luis mentions. Super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. Humper chats over at humperchats.com. There are other ways to support us. FightfulSelect.com. As Alan says, here for the receipts, Sean. Ricochet is out. We told you that was going to be happening on FightfulSelect.com this past weekend. And let me tell you, I got more contract news. I got more. We had some every single day last week. We got more coming. We got return news coming soon. But you know what? We got Denise Salcedo here. When do you head over to Scotland?
Tomorrow. I leave tomorrow morning. Not tomorrow morning. Sorry. Tomorrow evening. So my plane leaves like sometime during the day.
Wow. My God.
I'm excited, man.
I was about to say, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited mainly because I've never been there before and I like going places I've never been to. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. And so I'll be going to Glasgow and I'm also going to be going to Edinburgh because, you know, I'm already there, so I might as well go. And I also realized like there looks like there's more things to do in Edinburgh than there is in Glasgow. So yeah, I'm excited. My grandma's not excited. She doesn't like the idea of me leaving places all the time, but I told her that it's all right because I'm already used to it.
A reminder, guys, you can get your questions, statements in. We're going to talk about WWE Raw. We got a bunch of backstage news for this and literally everything else. Thanks to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. $5 a month gets you nearly 100 news stories a month, accurately sent directly to your phone or email, whatever you want there. But also access to our Discord, dozens of podcasts. Please check that out. It greatly supports what we do. We've got, you know, I feel like we should leave the Ricochet thing to a little bit later, but we're going to consolidate the main raw or the main event promo to the main event. So we're actually going to start with Io Sky defeating Lyra. Kairi ended up attacking. Katana and Kayden made the save. I really, really enjoyed the match. Lyra is fitting wonderfully on the main roster. Io Sky picks her win back up. So one of the things that we saw a lot of when you and I started to review this show was 50-50 booking, where nobody really got over because one person would win, one person would lose. I'm not ready to say that's what this is, even though we did kind of see them give it back, because they did an awful lot in establishing that Lyra is somebody they cared about. But this match specifically, what did this one do for you?
Dude, this actually did a lot for me. I will tell you, first of all, I want to say that I really enjoyed today's episode of Monday Night Raw. I thought it was very good. It gave us a little bit of everything. And in particular with this match, what I liked about it, one, that they ran it back because that was part of the tournament. And so seeing it go with in Io's direction gave me hope. I actually like that they're 1-1 right now. And the only reason I say that is because they're keeping the story going. We always talk about how they need more stories for the women, how it's not just about the main title picture, which right now is Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio and everything that's going on that end of things. But you also need some other stories for the other women on the roster. And so I'm liking the chemistry that both Liv, sorry, that, excuse me, I don't want to talk about Liv anymore, that Io has with Lyra Valkyra. I like the chemistry that they have together, and I think that they can really do something special here, especially with the addition of Kayden and Katana helping out Lyra to go up against Damage Control. This feels like a good story, and they work together so very well, and I feel like this could be the feud that starts to get Lyra really over with the audience, because I think that they respect her, and even with this match, the crowd wasn't going too crazy for it, but I thought it was a really good wrestling match, and I kind of felt like the crowd would have been more into it if I think they were more into the two performers that were there. So I feel like it's stories like this that are going to keep building, the wrestlers that you're seeing perform. So yeah, I thought this is going to work on all ends.
Kayden and Katana making the save. I'm like, okay, I'm glad there are some undercard women's tag team feuds here. They're going to have to do something to like heat them up. It'll have to be more than like run-ins and stuff, because I don't know, maybe I'm just, it's slipping my mind, but I can't personally remember the last time they were on Raw.
Kayden and Katana?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's been a while, man. Like it's been a while, and they show them sporadically. Like they'll randomly be in a backstage segment or in some random match, and then you won't see them again. Actually, I think the last time they were on, didn't they have a match with Shayna and Zoe?
Probably
confusing them with somebody else.
It's been a while, but I mean, they had like the clubbing stuff and all that. I need more than that. I need more than them showing these women doing that for me to, you know, get invested in them. Yeah. As I look, they were in a top contendership fatal four way a few weeks ago. Before that, it was the battle royal for the world title in April. They haven't won a match since, oh boy, January 8th, they won a match. And they last won their match after they, it's been since their title reign.
Oh, wow.
Since they won a match, yeah.
Sucks, because they've been on the main roster now for quite some time.
Yeah, they have. But you know what? I'm glad that they're getting them back involved. It needed to happen, especially if you're building this women's tag team division. Like, it's one of those things that I constantly complain about, wanting them to build this women's tag team division, establish these teams, and this is a part of that. Like, I can sit there and say, well, they haven't been on TV, but I want to see more teams on TV. I want to see newer teams as well. Backstage, Io Sky, despite the victory, screams that something has to change with Damage Control. Will Chisholm says he's here for Mad Crazy EO. I'm intrigued. I want to know what changes. I mean, unfortunately, based on her Twitter, it looks like Asuka had to get knee surgery, which, wishing her the best. But what do you think changes?
I don't know if anything necessarily changes. I just think that this is just going to give layers to the story here, because you've got to have a reason to care about what Damage Control is doing. What is their purpose? All right. Io getting mad. That's step one. Then on Lyra's side of things, we thought she was probably going to be forming some sort of relationship with Becky Lynch, but Becky Lynch is not there as of right now. And so now you have her going out there and not having any friends, being attacked by multiple people. So you got to find someone to fill that spot. And I feel like Kayden and Katana were perfect for filling that spot as well.
Like I said, I need more tag teams. I hope they bring in some new ones as well. Alba and Isla getting used is positive as well. We'll go ahead and speak about that as well, because later on in the evening, we had Shayna and Zoe defeating the Unholy Union. KE775 says, after Clash of the Castle, can we bring back NXT UK, Kaylee Ray? She was fantastic. Alba Fire isn't doing it for me. I think right now in the landscape we have, I think their best opportunity at this moment is as a tag team, because they need them so much. Shayna and Zoe got the win as Jade and Bianca looked on, but I was a little bit surprised they outright had the Unholy Union tapping out like right before the title match. Did that surprise you at all?
Not so much. I think what surprised me in this match was how quick it was. I kind of thought like, oh, you want to make these teams look really good heading into it, considering how dominant the champions are. And there was something that the super chatter just said about Alba Fire not really doing it for him. And it's more so when she was Kaylee Ray. I don't think it's necessarily that. I just think it's been the booking, because I was a fan of Alba Fire on NXT and what she had been doing, but they sort of wrapped that very quickly. And she got into that tag team with Isla Dawn. And then from there, that got wrapped up really quickly. Then they're on the main roster. So I feel like she really hasn't had too much time to really soak in being Alba Fire. And so I think it's more so that than her not sucking. Like, I like the Alba Fire character. I don't want her just to go back to just being it. I think this makes her stand out a little bit more.
Well, this is a unique super chat. Hey, Sean, wanted to be honest with you. Have you ever got blackout? Because on Saturday, I got blackout at my dad's birthday party. I took 6 shots, 4 Palomas, and I don't remember anything. Just ask you a question. My friend, I've never drank. I have never drank alcohol in my life. I know the internet thinks that I did coke on a live stream once, but outside of a little weed, I've never done a mind-altering substance. I took a muscle relaxer one time for my back, and I had a hangover the next day. So I am, it wouldn't take a lot to get me blackout, that's for sure. Just, you know, a strong whiff of something might do it to me, but no, I can't say that I have.
I'm offended. How come I didn't get asked this question? How come this was just a Sean question?
I will say, okay, so do you think enough time has passed for us to talk about the one drinking story that we have together?
We've never talked about it, Sean. I thought we decided we weren't going to talk about it.
Well, now people are going to think it's something completely different based on that.
Well, but I just wasn't sure we were supposed to.
I mean, Cody gave you a shot of his...
You gotta tell the story, however. Okay, fine. Tell the story.
We were at the Cody premiere. We were a few of the select media that were asked to come there, and he had us on his bus. We spoke with he and Brandy, and I don't drink, so I had a little Coke Zero shot, but you know, as a token of appreciation, offered Denise a shot of whiskey?
I have no idea what it was, bro.
Let me tell you, that had Denise lit. When I dropped her off, I was like, Denise, are you buzzing? Are you buzzing, Denise?
Said I thought we weren't gonna talk about it, but just say I took one for the team that day.
You did know it, Sean,
because yeah. I also don't drink. Okay, it's not like I'm out here getting drunk every single weekend. Shit, I hadn't drank anything in years. I mean, I tried it when I was in high school, sure, but I'd never done anything like really since. And
but
so
I've never drank, Denise.
So I saw you being all high and mighty, and I was like, damn, we can't be rude a-holes and say no to Cody. So I said, fine, I'll do it. So I did, and that shit burned my fucking throat.
Quick curse. Quit dropping that bomb, Denise.
I don't care, Sean. I don't care. All right, I took one for the new team. I deserve a curse word on this show.
Well, also, I'm a better media member than you, because I don't accept gifts from the subjects that I cover. So
you call that? I was like, I don't know, man.
Although anyways, the funniest part of that was Matt Cardona running off with all the swag bags and then selling them on Whatnot. Because if you remember, Cody slipped signed 8x10s in there, and then Broski was selling them on his Whatnot the next day. Ridiculous.
I don't know, man, but that was a fun experience.
It was. It was a good time. I enjoyed covering that as well. But hey, listen, if you don't want to have to steal 8x10s and sell them on your whatnot to make ends meet, check out our friends at NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you're a big pay-per-view buyer, if you just want to protect your data, your passwords, all that stuff, NordVPN.com/Fightful is for you. Right now, you save big and get 4 months extra with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And it's available on all devices, all operating systems, and wherever you want to be in the world. You might say, what do you mean wherever you want to be in the world? Because when you change your virtual location with just one click, you can appear to be in Denmark or the UK or Mexico or Japan. It doesn't really matter. But you also get their pay-per-view prices when you do that. You can also get access to games that are out of your area. Denise was telling me that her husband watches football that way, thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not only that, they are very aware that sometimes it's new technology and you might not know how to use it. They have 24/7 support. Assistance is never far away. Their support staff are always happy to take care of your problem. They helped me out a ton because I didn't necessarily know what I was doing either, but they helped me out an awful lot. And if for some reason you don't like it, they've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. You want to get NordVPN.com/Fightful. If only for the pay-per-views, that subscription will pay for itself. The fastest VPN in the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Oh man, lots of good super chats, lots of good humper chats. I want to shout out our moderator, Luis, for doing a great job there. Also, Denise, I know you did an interview with Jordan Grace. This might be the only time I ever got mine up before you because I just ran mine live tonight.
When did you shoot yours?
It was after yours because she referenced doing one with you before that.
Oh, see, I did mine during Raw at, what time was it? 6 o'clock. Yeah, it was
mine
at 6 o'clock.
Mine was right after yours then, yeah.
Yeah, so I still took the time to, like, edit my little video, put it together, the whole thing.
Look at this BS. Look at this BS. This is what Denise will do. If you wait and put out your interview after her, she'll be like, I'm on top of it. I get it done.
I wasn't before you, but I still got it done.
Anyway, Will Chisholm says, were those the same shots Jey Uso and Cody were drunk off of at that media scrum?
Probably.
Because
he said it was the wrestler shot. That's what he called it, the wrestler shot. That's why I don't remember the drink. I just remember the wrestler shot.
There you go.
And I just remember my throat being on fire. And
Jonathan Corona.
I am braver than you, Sean. I am braver than you, and I want credit for that.
Bro, Jonathan Corona, who asked me that question, is sending me the pictures from his night out. And let me tell you, I can see why maybe he was like, please tell me that I'm normal right now. Like, please relate to me in this situation. Because old boy was getting tore down. Look at it. Look at our dude.
Well, I mean, it is in his name, Corona.
That's fair. That is fair. Oh, man.
Jonathan, I had my days. The one time that I drank, I remember it was a healthy thing. I drank with my friends. We went to a club, and I will not explain what else happened that night.
I don't look down on anybody who drinks or anything like that. Like, I just never got into it. And then by the time I was of age, I was already DDing for people, and I was like, I don't want to.
But it was fun, though. I do have some good memories. Like, I didn't have any bad experiences, but I did hate it. And so I just never really did it. But I did try it in high school.
Ludwig Kaiser says he wants money in the bank. Later on, we see Sheamus say that he wants it as well. Man, Ludwig Kaiser is really starting to establish himself over the last couple of weeks, especially that win over Sheamus and this vignette. I'm liking the direction.
I do too, because I have been sort of, when was it? It was, God, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but remember they had been doing those vignettes where he was perfect and he was like going around and they did all of these little vignettes for him. And they stopped those. They only did those for like a few weeks. And I wanted them to kind of continue or go somewhere because from the very beginning, I feel like I've always seen him as a guy that can be a top guy. But for some reason, the moment just hasn't really happened for him. And I feel like he can really get over with the crowd. It's just a matter of really starting to build his character because for the most part, he's just been that guy that's been there with Gunther and with Vinci.
So I feel because there's no Gunther that I meant that I remember tonight or Jey Uso. No. And obviously Seth is out. Rhea is out. Becky's gone. You're missing an awful lot of people here. So I think that that's sort of benefited guys like Ludwig Kaiser for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I think they should keep doing more of this. Just kind of remind you because he's a good wrestler and he's got a lot of intensity. His promos are good. He looks great. I mean, I feel like he's the total package.
Jonathan Corona is asking about Ricky Stark's contract. I haven't heard anything about it, so I can't necessarily confirm or deny those reports, Jonathan, or what you're saying is reported. I have not heard anything new about Ricky Stark's contract because I ask all the time. He plays it very, very close to the vest. But I don't think he's opposed to returning to AEW. Thomas Sandberg says, FightfulSelect.com mentioned that some WWE talent believe they're on a per-appearance contract, which means they can work somewhere else. Is this a new thing? So to clarify that, there was a talent that I heard of that had reached out to another company and said they currently aren't under contract right now, but are still with WWE. I don't know if necessarily if it means they're getting paid per appearance. I did reach out to that talent and they said that they are still with WWE at the moment. So that is not something that usually happens with WWE. So that is something to monitor. I'll see if I can put that name out there eventually. Bear Hudson says, honest question. What do you need to see from this version of the Wyatt family to consider it a success? Who should their first feud be with on the main roster? Well, Denise, the signs point to next Monday, the QR codes and all that. If you rewatch the Bray documentary, I think they were very heavy-handed about some stuff, and I am going to work on a report on it this week. And I have seen a glimpse of what it might be like, and it looks pretty interesting. We've heard the rumored ingredients, right? Eric Rowan, Bray Wyatt, or not Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Nikki Cross, Dexter Lumis, and the like. A couple of the things that they mentioned in that documentary, Denise, they were like, we got to do something that will make Bray proud. And if you'll notice, they'll say, well, one of the big issues with the Wyatt family and Fiend stuff was you couldn't make sense of it in the ring. I think they will do it in a manner that will make sense of it in the ring. That won't be like ghosts and goblins and, you know, supernatural stuff like that. I think that will go a long way. As far as the first feuds, I could see Braun being one of the first feuds because of his connection to them.
Yeah, I think the way that you make it feel special, it's keeping it, because I was going to say realistic, but realistic to the extent that you could with this kind of an act where, again, you don't want to go too far. Like when they were doing the whole thing where, God, I remember all the stuff they had Alexa Bliss do where she was no, what was she doing? She was doing some crazy stuff that I remember watching on Raw and just going like, oh, I have to suspend my disbelief a little. Oh, you know what I didn't like? The hypnosis stuff that she was doing. Remember when she would hypnotize people? Yes. I didn't like that. Yeah, I was not a fan of that. So it's like little things like that where I feel like that's a little bit not believable for me. And remember when she had the black liquid? I was like, okay, fine. The black liquid, sure. It's not the best thing, but whatever. I could buy that a little bit more than the hypnosis. It's just, I think you have to present it as cool, fun, creative, unique, instead of super unrealistic.
Jonathan Corona says, Sean and Denise, I want to ask you this. What did you guys think of WWE and the Apex when Battleground got done? What did you think of the production? Well, I think that NXT and WWE had the benefit of working in Full Sail in the Performance Center, so that wasn't a setting for them that was too out of the ordinary. It was a lot more enjoyable than the UFC Apex shows to me because those are very lifeless. But Denise, could you even tell they were somewhere different?
Yes, I could. Because that one, you could tell with the amount of space from the ring to the barricade, it was very, very little space. So you can tell that they were working in a more of a confined area. And then also the other way that I could tell too was any empty seat, even if it was one or two, stood out so much more than if it was at the Performance Center. If two seats are missing, no one's going to notice, but you definitely notice in the Apex. And you also kind of noticed a little bit with the chants and also kind of how commentary was not really used to being in that kind of situation. And so you noticed it through commentary as well. So there was a bunch of different ways that it was noticeable. Also, we've seen a lot of the, oh my God, I'm forgetting what it's called. what is it? The jig, the rig? No, the jig. I forgot what it's called.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Okay. Like even seeing that, you don't usually see that in the production and you kept seeing it throughout the show. So there was a bunch of little things that I did feel I wouldn't hate them running it again, but it wouldn't be my first choice having them run the Apex again.
We've got, still a lot of people want to talk about the Ricochet thing. We're getting there, I promise. Ludwig, just KE775 says, what are your early Money in the Bank predictions? Who are you thinking wins that?
Tiffany Stratton for the girls. Yeah. And, well, so far we really don't have anything for the guys yet. We just had Ludwig Kaiser saying he was going to be in it. So I'm going to go with Ludwig Kaiser but he's not really my pick right now.
I could see someone else in Judgment Day also winning Money in the Bank and causing like maybe some friction there. It's just, I could see that being what they do. And I think Tiffany Stratton will win. Natalia spoke to Sonya backstage. Ryan said, any update on her? Should fans read into the fact that Becky is still on the roster page and hasn't been moved to the alumni section yet? Becky is out of contract right now. She is a free agent, but WWE expects her to come back. She is expecting to come back at some point. Fightful Select reported that the day that her deal went up. Natalia, as of last Thursday, had not signed a new deal. She is, as of now, entertaining all options. I'm sure if they make her a too-good-to-be-true deal, that might change. There are an awful lot of people that are interested in her doing the Owen Hart tournament. I know they've got that booked out, but if Natalia Neidhart becomes available, well, that's probably going to change some things with it. I don't think that she'll win it. I think it's pretty clear it's a path for Mariah May, Toni Storm at All In, like based on the geographical situation. But like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Natalia do a deep run in it. I don't know if they're doing 8 or 16, but as of Thursday, she had not signed a new deal. I will follow up and ask again. Oh, man. So let's talk about it. Ricochet was backstage and talking to Ilya Dragunov. Then Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov have a hell of a match. Just a hell of a match. And none of the super chats are about that, but I just want to say this. I am glad they didn't do the thing that they've done so many times before where Braun just does 3 months of squash matches. It's the same thing. Veer is coming. Veer is coming. Veer is coming. Then Veer beats the same guy. We saw it with Ryback. We've seen it with Veer. We've seen it with a million people, right? He got a couple of his squash matches, and now he's working like 16-minute slappers with Ilya Dragunov, who did not win but looked incredible in defeat. And that's sort of a gift and a curse for Ilya Dragunov, Denise, because he looks incredible in defeat an awful lot, but Bron Breakker is so very clear to be the next guy. RG3 is out there tweeting about him. Like, there's an awful lot to Bron Breakker right now to like. Let's talk about the match before we talk about everything else.
Dude, the match was incredible. I don't even know where to begin with it. It really was this thing where both of them recognized that the other individual was not going to be easy to defeat. So the whole time you were seeing both of them come at each other. I mean, Braun was literally giving his everything, and so was Ilya. This match was so freaking physical, and there were so many great moments. I mean, there was one point where I thought, when Braun tossed Ilya into the second rope and the rope literally just hit him like right in the throat. Then we see Ilya get super desperate at one point and he just starts hitting Bron Breakker with a bunch of German suplexes. And it looked really cool because Bron Breakker is a really big guy. But I mean, they were just going the spear on the outside, the spear back in the ring to finally close off this match. This match was hot the entire way through, and they gave me exactly what I wanted here. So whatever vision you had of this match, that's what they gave you.
Yeah, this was outstanding. And then afterwards, Braun goes back for more, and then Ricochet makes the save. We see Ricochet come out, did some incredible stuff. They gave him some shine upon leaving. A nice little thank you for his years. I can't tell you how many big dumb bitches I had on the World Wide Web that were like, what happened? What happened to the write-off? Well, Fightful Select reported, and I want to say PW Insider reported that he would be written off tonight. Fightful Selected reported that it would be Bron Breakker that did it. Well, later on, Bron Breakker caught up with old Ricochet and whipped his ass, and Ricochet sold like $1 million for him. Like, just did a wonderful job on the way out, or what seems like the way out, putting over Bron Breakker. Gets thrown through a car windshield. Ass first, Denise. Ass first. He said,
I got glass in my ass.
He got glass in his ass. Samantha Irvin is like, oh no, and leaves as well. But we got
she
a bunch.
She did really good in that role, by the way. She so did good. Really good. She sold it like so much more than anything I could have expected. I really liked that added addition of that.
Yeah, we're going to ask our moderator to break the chats up into Samantha Irvin and then Ricochet stuff. But Jonathan Corona says, when wrestlers talk for extensions with WWE and AEW, do they have agents to help them sign the contract and talk negotiations? Or do wrestlers do contract negotiation talks? Well, Jonathan, it's both. Barry Bloom is a very famous agent. He handles most of the highest of the high profiles. Your Goldbergs, your Chris Jerichos, Omega, Hangman, a lot of those types of people. He's also got people that work with him. You've got Steve Kay and Mojo Rawley that are helping out an awful lot of people now. There's a fella from the NBA who repped a couple people who is now repping some guys like Brian Cage. There is Brian Wittenstein who represents Cody, the Guns, Jade Cargill, a few other. There's a lot of people that are finally getting into this agenting game because there's more money in wrestling than ever before. And now wrestlers aren't giving up. Like their 10%, 5%, whatever that might be, isn't as substantial as it once was. So it's a little bit of both, but there's agents all over the place. But John Black says, Braun throwing Ricochet at the production truck was a great Outsiders WCW callback. I wonder if Ray's PTSD activated. Honestly, I would love to see Ray being like, that wasn't cool. That's happened to me before. And then Braun destroys him. Braun versus Rey Mysterio would be a hoot.
Yeah, 100%.
Mr. Acosta says that Toledo, Ohio didn't deserve that match. They didn't, based on their reaction. Will Chisholm says, I wanted The Undertaker to turn around and say, buckle up, Prince Puma. Oh, my God. Jeez. Mr. Acosta says, going to miss Ricochet in WWE. Enjoyed his run. Kyle says, would love it if Dijak brings Hard Justice to Raw and face Braun. Dijak finally was booked on the show. We had reported on FightfulSelect.com last week that there is not an offer on the table for Dijak yet, but they have had preliminary conversations. We also reported he was on WWE Speed tonight. So hopefully that gets
Which
done.
Is kind of unfortunate because he was doing really well on NXT, and I feel like he could have gone even above and beyond had he remained on NXT still. He probably would have been in that NXT championship picture.
So we've got DNC Digital with a very, very good question. A reminder, guys, get in your super chats. Get in your Humper chats. It says, to clarify, today's angle was done in case he doesn't re-sign, because a lot can happen between now and the end of a contract. This completely writes him off or sets up a big return. That is correct. In case he doesn't re-sign.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The percentage I was given was 90 to 95% that he is leaving, because it ain't ever 100%. They could step in and say, you know what? We really, really need to make a deal work with him, and then it can work. But all indications from WWE and AEW is they believe that he is headed to AEW. New Japan also has interest in him as well. But he appears to be leaving. And right now, WWE is operating on the assumption that he is leaving. They took the Speed title off of him the other day as well. If it's possible, Ospreay versus Ricochet at All In, says Alan. They already have creative plans for Ospreay, but anything can change. Dream Ninja says big credit to Ricochet for being a pro and telling WWE ahead of time that so they could write him off in a way that helped Braun. Samantha was great. I haven't confirmed that he gave his notice, but everything else that I heard from PW Insider's report matches exactly up with what I've heard. So I wouldn't doubt that at all. JW Pringle says, was that real glass? Don't tell that punk guy. He hates real glass. One like, squeak, one prayer for Ricochet. Listen, I don't get that one, my friend. I don't understand that one. When can TK talk to Ricochet? What's Samantha's contract status? They can talk to Ricochet when his deal's up. Although, if he's given his notice, WWE isn't going to give him any static for negotiating with AEW. They do it with people all the time. Both sides do that type of thing and talk to people when they're on their way out. It's frowned upon in the middle of a deal when there's a lot of time and can affect a lot of plans. But Corey David says, is Samantha Irvin leaving? I have not heard that as of yet. I will ask about it. But Jonathan Corona says, I wanted to ask this question. When do ring announcer contract ends, like Rome, Taylor, Samantha's contract? You think we see her in AEW? Just curious. I don't know anything about her deal, but if you can get Samantha Irvin, you get Samantha Irvin. That is like Renee Paquette. If you can get her, you get her. You find the spot for her. Same here. Like, I mean, they let Dasha go, and they've had Bobby Cruz doing some collision and stuff, but Samantha Irvin is, in my opinion, right up there with as good as anybody in the game right now, Denise.
Yeah, it would be a huge loss for WWE if they did lose Samantha. I personally don't think Samantha should leave WWE. I think she is in a prime spot, and they're treating her very nicely from what we can see on TV. I'm not talking behind the scenes, but just, you know, she gets a lot of attention on social media. She gets a lot of attention on the show. I feel like she doesn't really have a reason to want to leave per se, other than obviously wanting to be with Ricochet.
Yeah. And I don't think that's as a slam dunk as so many people just act like it is. Tim says, hi SRS and Denise. Do we know when that contract is up? Just curious if she would leave with Ricochet. I always say to you guys, you never know their motivations. You never know. So I'm not going to speculate on that. I'll try to find out as best I can. Will says, was it real glass? I heard that joke plenty. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, I guarantee that you throw into the trailer, throw into the trailer hurt worse than the bump on the car. Braun threw him harder than Kevin Nash threw Rey Mysterio. I think the bump on the car probably hurt worse than the trailer. I think Kevin Nash and Rey Mysterio were very safe about that bump, as memorable as it was. Jonathan Corona also says, well, I'm going to Mexico next weekend. We have three parties back to back to back. Oh, man. We just hope you come back, buddy. We just hope you come back. So, Liv Morgan, she continues to torment Dominic. Backstage, she approaches Dominic and gives him her hotel room key. And she says, you shouldn't be with a woman that makes you call her mommy. You should be with a woman who isn't afraid to call you daddy. Later on, in the middle of a match, Liv tripped, fell, landed on Dominic, and mounted him, which resulted in Zelina attacking her. Backstage, Carlito, JD, and Finn Balor are there, and they're like, what's going on? And Dom goes, she left me her hotel room key. And they all look at it, and Carlito says, that's cool. I've loved him in Judgment Day so far. And Damian's like, I want no parts of this. Settle it. And Dom's like, I've been trying to. Haven't you all watched? Listen, this is As the World Turns. It's corny soap opera bullshit. And I love the corny soap opera bullshit that we're watching here, Denise.
I got to tell you, I am very astonished by how far Liv Morgan has towed this line, man. I was already talking about this last week when her hands went lower than I expected them to go. And then this week when she lands on him, I already thought they were doing a lot by just her being on top of him for so long. But then she started, you know, moving around and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is where this is going, like even more so. So I feel like no longer are they letting us leave things to imagination. They're definitely pushing the boundaries a lot more on this. And that has been the part that has really astonished me in this whole thing. It's no longer a tease.
I have loved Carlito in Judgment Day. He is infinitely more interesting than anything that he's ever done. And he's being a crony. He's doing little one-liners. He's playing off of the stuff that made him popular. I think he has been a really, really good fit here. What do you think happens with Dominic and Liv?
And they hook up. They've got to. She's been giving them so much more than Rhea has. Sorry, Rhea. But she has. Damn.
Oh, boy.
Men are easy, boy. Bro. They just go wherever they, like, you know, get it.
Oh, my gosh. We got Jay Miller saying, I'm in on this Liv Revenge tour, but does she wrestle or feud with anyone before Rhea gets back? Yeah, it looks like she's going to wrestle Zelina at some point, who I would like to see earn a title shot. But Brandon Will Win says, Denise, would you rather fight Liv or kiss Dom?
I would definitely not want to kiss Dom, so I would fight Liv.
Okay.
Sorry, Dom. Not my type.
Will Chisholm says, if you noticed, Finn was the last person who had the card, just saying. And RJ says, Finn grabbed the key card. So that was another something that got brought up, was that we saw of him emerging from a vehicle that she was also in recently. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Man.
Dude, what's going to happen when they go to the freaking Netflix? I'm curious, man. This story is going to get like...
you.
This story is going to get very, very inappropriate.
God.
What if they did bonus stuff that, you know, you just wouldn't... I don't know.
Well, speaking of bonuses, and Denise says that men are easy. So is winning money with BetOnline AG. They got a 50% welcome bonus up to $1,000 when you join now. The earliest lines, you can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality, the fastest payouts in a safe and secure environment, high credit card acceptance and payouts in minutes. BetOnline.ag. It's where we've always got our odds from, and we're going to go through them right now. We've got, man, so as I look at the BetOnline.ag odds, I want to make sure that I get them directly from BetOnline.ag, but they had Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest very, very close there. Who do you have winning that?
Oh, so even though I want Drew, Drew McIntyre to be World Heavyweight Champion, I'm thinking it's going to be Damian Priest retaining.
So as of now, as I look at this, they've got Drew McIntyre as a pretty sizable favorite. I would be willing to put a little bit on Damian Priest. Bayley, a monster favorite over Piper Niven. I think that's safe. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair are heavily favored to win. I would go there as well. There's some other stuff there because they've got some for matches that haven't even been announced, like some hypotheticals in that regard. So they've also got like Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser, and they have Sheamus as a big favorite. I think if that got announced, Ludwig would win. I don't think it's going to happen. They got Solo versus Kevin Owens, which isn't announced. But Solo is a major favorite. I think that's fair. They had Randy Orton and Gunther, which I don't think is going to get announced, but a minus 1,500 for Gunther, which I think is obvious. But they have Will CM Punk interfere in the world title match, and it's at a minus 450 favorite, yes. And I am leaning that way. I don't know about if I'm that confident, but Denise, I'm leaning that way.
No, I've been leaning that way now for quite some time. I feel like that's definitely the direction they're going in. And then even today, once we talk about that match, given what went down and now that their Judgment Day is banned from ringside, that didn't mean CM Punk's banned from ringside.
So, my God. It's just, I love you can bet on wrestling. BetOnline AG. We got Will Chisholm saying, Liv needs to stop. Finn and Dom have lovely wives at home. My gosh. Oh, geez. Raw Talk, New Catch Republic announced they'll be on NXT tomorrow. So is Cody Rhodes. Listen, they're putting a lot into NXT. Good for them.
They're trying to keep that momentum going. Good for them. Yeah.
Dunn and Bate will be teaming with Wesley tomorrow versus Gallus. Listen, all due respect to Dunn and Bate. People wanted the Rascals. People wanted the Rascals to team with Trevor Lee. You know what? That would be kind of fun, too, to watch the Rascals team with Trevor Lee. That would be kind of fun. James Stallings says, haters can say what they want. Ricochet fits better in AEW. I'm so excited for the possibilities for him. He does fit better, but Denise, I think what you said last week was true, and I thought about that. I was like, you know, there's Top Flight can do the same things that he can do outside of some feats of strength, but has your stance on that changed at all over the last week?
No, I'm pretty much still the same. I mean, I still think it's a cool opportunity and there's going to be cool matches. But yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Got a lot more about Ricochet. And Simmons says, if you had to choose where you wanted him to go, I would say New Japan if he wants to bet on himself. Wish him the best. And he proves fans who doubt him. My friend, Ricochet does not need to prove himself. He proved himself in New Japan. He proved himself on the Indies. He proved himself in Lucha Underground. And he proved himself when given the opportunity in WWE. I don't know of any like real storyline with a ton of substance that he got in WWE. I just don't.
I think more so in terms of not proving himself as a wrestler, but proving himself as an act that is worth pushing, worth giving TV time, worth giving stories to. I think that in that sense, he might want to definitely prove himself in that light, because think about it. You could easily stay in WWE, collect a very nice paycheck, I'm sure, and also be with your person, be there with Samantha. The fact that he is willing to step outside of that and see what else is on the other side kind of goes to show that he is wanting either to prove himself or maybe has a chip on his shoulder to prove that he can be more than what he was in WWE. So again, not proving himself in ring wise, but proving himself as someone that you want to invest in.
Jonathan Corona says, don't get why he's leaving. Does Triple H hate Ricochet or hate his promos? Ricochet leaving opens up a spot on Raw for Dragon Lee to have insane weekly matches. Well, I do agree with that last point. I think Dragon Lee stands to benefit from that an awful lot. But I mean, he and Ricochet are definitely different in the ring, but do some similar things. I don't know how Triple H feels about Ricochet. I don't know. I'm not sure. So I'm sure Ricochet will speak on it afterwards and what he thinks. I would be surprised if we don't get a Chris Van Vliet interview next month. You know what I mean? John Black says, how did Liv miss the opportunity to call Dom Poppy? That's a good one. Cadillac Carson says, Dom should just say yes to Liv and whatever happens, happens. Love the story. See?
I told you, men are easy. They just say yes.
Man. Braun and the LWO defeat Carlito and Judgment Day because Liv tripped and fell and landed on Dominic. It's good to see Dominic back in the ring, by the way. Very, very good. N. Simmons says, I think there's a swerve happening with this situation and Finn is the actual person who betrays them. Remember, he says she was Bullet Club. Well, not really. He was, but I think we could see Finn Balor doing something here. They've kept him intriguing and interesting along the way. Speaking of intriguing, interesting, Sami Zayn approaches Alpha Academy backstage, and I loved Otis's promo, Denise. He said, he was like, I know you don't get it, but he said when Mandy was gone, when Tucker was gone, I lost my Money in the Bank briefcase. Chad Gable believed in me and he was there for me. He didn't mention those two specifically by name. He called them his Peach and his Tucky. First off, I love this nod at history. It should be a point to bring this up.
So for me, I do agree with your point about Otis and his promo, because it finally gave us an explanation as to why he's been tolerating all of the BS, all of the disrespect from Chad Gable, right? But the promo that got me was Sami Zayn, because Sami tells him, like, you don't realize how special you can be, basically telling him he doesn't have confidence. And, yeah, you know, if he realized that, he could be doing all of this other stuff. But the way that Sami said it, I was like, damn, that's so nice. That's so sweet. That actually pulled my heartstrings. So, yeah, I really liked what Sami brought to it, because all of a sudden it feels like he's trying to help Otis become the Otis that he could be, right? Like the very best version of himself, instead of always being the sidekick, instead of always being put cast aside, maybe he can actually be a top guy in a different way than he has been.
Sami Zayn then defeated Otis, and we almost felt like we almost saw the turn again. Now, with Chad Gable, Fightful Selected reported on his contract, he had interest from AEW and WWE. I haven't confirmed that he's re-signed yet. Everybody can say, oh, well, of course he did. We don't operate on of course or assumptions or anything like that as far as saying this factually happened. But if we're talking about assumptions, people in WWE and AEW assume he is staying. There
when
was
is his contract up again, Chad Gable?
It was supposed to be up last Friday.
Oh, I see.
Now, okay. That's what made it interesting that he was advertised for Clash at the Castle. But there are some people that are working that are operating without deals and have gotten reps and stuff like that, representatives. So I don't think it's a slam dunk necessarily, but I think you got to have, he can't leave without the Otis turn and the Otis feud anyway. I'm inclined to believe he's staying, but when that Otis turn happens, Denise, it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, I think we kind of already had that inkling since last week. And then even this week, I thought they did a better job at making you think that it was going to happen this week. Last week, I knew it wasn't going to happen. This week's, I kind of thought, oh, shit, are they just going to do it right now? Because the whole time I had been expecting it to happen till Clash at the Castle. But I thought that the way that he reacted today and the way that they sold that, I really thought it was going to happen today for a split second.
So do you think that it happens because Gable loses again and blames Otis, or do you think Gable will win the title and then?
I think there's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason in that specific moment to trigger Otis. He's not just going to be like, I changed my mind from all these other weeks and I'm finally going to get to you, because today showed that it's going to take a lot for him to actually turn and attack Chad Gable. The fact that he didn't do it today, and knowing, because in that backstage segment, he saw the tape from last week. He saw everything that played out. He saw eye to eye with Sami Zayn. And even knowing all of that and explaining why he's still friends with Chad Gable, and he still didn't actually attack him even after Chad Gable slapped him again today, I feel like that was him basically saying he's going to need a lot to really be pushed over the limit. So I feel like something has to happen to push him over the limit at Clash of the Castle.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats, my friends. Jay Hudson says, give WWE credit with a roster that is missing Becky, Roman, Seth, Charlotte, Punk, and Asuka. They're making the best of what they have. I agree with that. Ludwig Kaiser, a big step up. We're seeing Dragon Lee used more. I thought they were going positive trajectory with AOP. I'm about to rant about that in a minute. But you've got people that are Ilya, Bron Breakker. When do I expect Roman Reigns to make his appearance? Probably after Money in the Bank, probably heading to SummerSlam or something like that. But I don't have info on that. DNC Digital said, question for both of you. If you had a friend who's not a fan ask you to show them a match to show why you love it, what match would it be? I would show them, gosh, I would probably show them, even though I like the Mania 25 match better, I would show them Undertaker Shawn Michaels Mania 26 with the video package before it to set the stage for that.
Denise, well, chances are, if my friend is not a wrestling fan, I got to show them something with a bunch of spots, because that'll probably at least make them go, oh, wow, I didn't. How could they fake that? So you got to try to appeal to their senses, especially if they don't like pro wrestling. So I wouldn't show them something that was too story-based. I would show them something like a TLC match. Since you mentioned WrestleMania, I'll show the WrestleMania 17 TLC match, because I know for a fact you don't got to be a fan to react to that.
That's a good one. That was a good one. Will Chisholm says, I love how Drew is a heel. Sheamus is a baby face. They're still friends. We know if we know their history. I like that as well. I do too, because they're buddies. They're frenemies. They always have been. I like that they don't just throw that by the wayside and be like, oh, let's ignore history. I've got a very funny story about them that I'm going to post on Select one day. It's just been sitting in my drafts for a very long time, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll drop that one day when I don't have a story or something.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, okay.
A funny behind the scenes story on that one. But we've got Jared saying, how mad will Scotland be when Alba Isla will be the only Scottish winners at Clash at the Castle? I think Drew's getting screwed and Piper obviously won't win. Do you think Alba and Isla are going to win?
No.
Either.
No. So when he said that, I was like, wait a minute, what? I forget the match that they're in? No, they're in there in the triple threat with Bianca and Jade. They ain't gonna lose. And Jade ain't gonna lose. What are we doing here?
I think Bianca and Jade stay together until Rumble time when one of them eliminates the other and we set up towards a Mania match, is what I think probably.
Yeah, happens. So no, there's probably gonna be no one then on the card that wins from there.
Oh boy. So Miz is backstage looking for R-Truth. A lot of people speculated R-Truth would end up with the key card, which is kind of funny, but he didn't, that we know of. He says that he's been talking and that they have a match with the APA, which is actually AOP. The Final Testament are also backstage, and they say, Scarlett says, Xavier, we'd never leave you like Kofi did. You can't trust him. I just want to make this clear. I was all on board with Awesome Truth winning the tag titles at Mania. I think it was the right move to give R-Truth his Mania moment. He was super over. And if they would have lost it later that week, I would have been fine with it. We are now 2 months into this reign. And what we are seeing is Authors of Pain, who just squashed New Day and squashed the Creed Brothers, are getting pinned with a goddamn distraction roll-up. The Miz, 100 pounds less than Rezar, Akam, whichever one, hitting a distraction roll-up pin is so annoying to me. All due respect to The Miz. Listen, could he pin me? Yeah, I'm sure he could. Akam and Rezar with a roll-up pin. There ain't no chance on this planet that is ever happening. No. KE775 says, I feel bad saying this, but Miz, our truth team has jumped the shark, is now a bit painful. Yes, this was bad to me. And I get it, New Day are coming out and interfering. They got squashed. Squashed. I thought, okay, maybe they're going to put the title on the guys that have won these matches convincingly. Distraction, roll up, pin, like it's 2019 again. I hated it.
Well, I feel redeemed here because I have been hoping for The Miz nuts. And R-Truth to lose forever ago because I didn't even care. To be honest, I was just like, okay, cool. WrestleMania moment for them. Awesome. Cool. I knew this was always going to happen. I was not expecting anything realistically good to come out of this besides, again, that WrestleMania moment. Same thing with the AOP. I feel like every single week I've been sitting here going, this is not good. They are not doing anything interesting. And what can I say? I was proven right for at least this week.
I want to say this, guys. A roll-up pin is more unrealistic than an Irish whip, and it ain't even close. I have heard really great catch wrestlers explain the psychological reason for an Irish whip, why you run to the ropes instead of stopping and holding on and all that stuff to protect yourself. I have watched a lot of amateur wrestling and catch wrestling in my day. Shoot wrestling, everything. I have seen zero people pinned with a roll-up pin. And on top of that, I certainly would have never seen it by someone who outweighs the other person by 100 pounds. It really annoyed me.
I can tell you're really annoyed because you like the face you made. You like emphasized it with your eyes three times, and you never do that.
I stood up and I said, why? Because we don't see those nearly as much these days, right? We don't see the roll-ups and all that because it was like that nonstop a few years ago. Woof. Jared says, happy the KCs, Caden and Katana, are in a storyline, not about the women's tag titles. I think the team needs those types of storylines to build interest. I agree. And to naturally have teams that are ready to compete for those tag titles. That way it's not just, well, here they are. They're back. We had a Drew McIntyre promo that kicked off the show. He said he's locked in this weekend, and Damian Priest came out, interrupted him, and told him that he should face Finn Balor later in the evening, of which Pat McAfee did the ring announcements for.
That was
he said that Finn Balor was from the bum-ass Judgment Day. He said he has zero body fat. What did he say about Drew McIntyre?
That he was a handsome man from Scotland.
There you go.
Or a handsome Scottish man, something like that.
And then, as we would expect, Drew McIntyre defeats Finn Balor. How'd you feel about the match?
This was a solid match, man. When he freaking tossed him over the freaking, when he suplexed him over the commentary table, I thought that was freaking cool. I love the finish with the claymore. I thought this was a pretty explosive match, man. I'm so ready for whenever it does happen. And I know it's going to be a while, especially because I'm still expecting Gunther. I'm actually expecting Gunther to become World Heavyweight Champion before Drew McIntyre, which is kind of crazy to say, but I'm not actually not too crazy, but Drew, I can't wait for this guy to be World Heavyweight Champion. Whenever the hell they do decide to go for it, hell, maybe it will be at Clash at the Castle. Who knows? But whenever they do decide for it, I'm ready because he brings sparks to the show. Even if it's just a simple, that I can't even say it was a simple match. No, this was a good match with him and Finn Balor. Like, it delivered. And so I can't wait to see Drew hold that title.
Yep. K775 says, do you think Drew versus Priest will be overbooked, or do you expect a simple Punk interference, maybe on commentary or the audience? Well, the stipulation here was that if Drew won, Judgment Day was banned from ringside. But CM Punk ain't.
Yeah, that's what it led. That's why I said that earlier. It led me to believe, okay, they're banned from ringside, so he's going to go in there not expecting anybody. And then all of a sudden, who's going to show up? CM Punk.
Yana says, I can see TJD or the Judgment Day screwing over Priest at Cash to the Castle with Liv and Finn behind it all. Punk and Drew face off at the end. Punk costing Drew is a simpler creative punk or simpler creative choice. Seems like we'll get a Liv Zelina feud plus a fire cliffhanger. Well, I'll tell you what I hope we also get with the Liv Zelina feud. Zelina winning some matches. That's what I would like to see because she has not wrestled since April 5th. She has not wrestled since WrestleMania. She has not wrestled since then. Do you know the last time she won a match, Denise?
No.
Let's see. On TV.
Was she part of the tournament?
August 4th, 2023. Against Io Sky.
Wait, you said August?
August 4th.
This was her last win, August?
Yes, August. So get her in there, get her some wins. There you go. Also, I will keep screaming this at the rooftops. I think that Punk and Drew does not need the title. Does not need the title.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking that he's not going to win, obviously, at the hands of CM Punk, not for the title. I'm hoping SummerSlam we do get. Is CM Punk going to be cleared by then? Hopefully.
I hope so.
Because that's the match I'm hoping for.
Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. A reminder, guys, this week I interviewed Mance Warner today. It's up for everybody on Fightful. His first interview since winning the GCW World title. Interviewed Jordan Grace today. We got AJ Francis later this week. Also looking for some WWE stuff. I believe Corey Brennan will be on site. You'll get to meet Corey, Denise.
Yeah.
This is his first time ever doing media. But we wrap up with Eddie Melendez saying, Sean, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Drew's worst nightmare. Punk somehow helps him win by distracting Liv in Judgment Day. Instead of the crowd chanting Drew's name, they're chanting Punk's name on Drew's turf. I think you can. I think you can make that happen. I think that's too unpredictable to imply that they will chant for Punk. But I think if they go the heel, how do I put it?
I don't know. We don't know how the crowd's going to react.
I think he's going to cost Drew the title. Drew is going to be a 100% babyface there. They'll be on Drew's side, I believe.
But how funny would it be if they're not when CM... What if they are the whole time and then CM Punk comes down? They're like, nah, you know what? Let's cheer for CM Punk instead. That would be pretty hilarious, man. And kind of messed up.
Denise, tell the people what you got.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I dropped back-to-back-to-back interviews with Bianca, Roxanne, and Jordan. That's all up here on the channel. And then I will be at Clash at the Castle, so keep an eye out for all of that content coming up. And yeah, all podcasts that I do throughout the week, YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo.
Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I know that a lot of you are like, why would I pay for that? Trust me, it's worth it. $5 a month. We did not increase the price when inflation happened and all that good stuff. We kept it at $5. Go support the great work that we do that everybody else mooches off of. FightfulSelect.com. Guys, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.